All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. We have on with us Mr. Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. We are going to do a bit of after action review of what happened this weekend with the training course inserted into this. For all of you that's on the audio side on gsradio.net, you will not be able to see the visual, but I will be inserting the videos. Some of them are kind of funny. Some are good teaching points of the active shooter scenario-based training. And the final scenario, which was us recreating the Uvalde massacre, which, you know, for some people, it took them into a darker place, especially because at that same time, we had found out that Israel was being attacked and people were being butchered in their own homes. Bob, along with that, we're going to talk about some radio communications and why that may be pertinent for people. We're going to talk about the night vision that may be fleeing off the shelves soon. And by fleeing, I mean they're going to be going back to their masters in the military, and us civilians aren't going to have much left. So let's bring you on, Bob. How you feeling? What's going on? And how you think the course went?
Oh, well, first of all, I just want to thank you, Doug, for having me here. And I, you know, the other night I was on Watchmen on the Wall Report with Mike Kerr, and mentioned, you know, and I had a cardiac episode recently. And, you know, I got just a pouring out of people. Say they were praying for me. Some people called me and prayed for me actually on the phone. Doug, that means so much. It does, that people take their time and let me know that I have God's people praying for me. I still ask for prayer. You know, there's still some remnants of it going on. And fatigue is one of it. So I'm a high energy person. I've always been a high energy person. And, you know, it just ask for continued prayer. So I want to thank those that have and ask continually for those that would. The Bible tells us to do that we may be healed. And I just want to thank everyone. I want to thank you again for having me here.
Well, man, we're always keeping you in our prayers, and we love you, Bob. You're part of the family, and you bring forth so much great information. And I mean, you are our radio expert, and you're able to give a little bit of a radio class to this last course. And, you know, we're going to talk about an after action of how everything went from the tactics side of the house that I was doing to the SEER side of the house and medical side that Doc Steve Reyes was doing. But the more we see what's developing in Syria, and then also in Palestine on the Gaza Strip, in Israel, and what's starting to now leak forth here in America with the invasion of the southern border, the national jihad or worldwide jihad that is going to be tomorrow, which is Friday the 13th. What a quaint day to do that on. And October is one gigantic satanic month. Almost every month in October has to do with some sort of satanic sacrifice of some kind. Now's the time to probably start paying attention a little bit to your preparations and to getting better prepared, taking out your equipment, making sure the batteries are not dead, swapping out new batteries, walking around with your night vision, getting used to that depth perception feel. If you don't want a broken ankle like me, make sure you have a good depth perception. That's how I broke my ankle in Iraq. Where you want to start off with, I mean, obviously Syria is now being bombed. Aleppo's been bombed. Damascus is being bombed. It's not getting any better, Bob.
Well, we knew it wouldn't, Doug. If you remember about 4 weeks now, I came on your program, and after being in prayer for some time, I'm weird. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I use a lot of that time for prayer, asking God to show me, you know, how I should live, what's coming. You know, just to guide me and my family through these difficult end days that we're experiencing. And, you know, one of the things that was impressed upon me, and I mentioned it on this program, that something very dramatic, crossing the Rubicon was coming, something where we would cross over and it would never be the same. The Middle East, and then this thing in the Middle East happened where we saw Hamas come across en masse, and kill, we don't know how many now. They're saying over 1,200 people, and there's allegations of all kinds of atrocities, sexual violence, and so forth. So, we have this, and we need to really pay attention to it because it's not there. Now it has spread to Syria, which is I mean, there's so many players in Syria right now. It is a really crowded field. The Russians are there, the Chinese are there. I mean, everybody's there wanting to get their piece of the pie out of Syria. Iran is definitely involved. So that's a player that could come on. We don't know where Saudi Arabia is anymore because of Joe Biden offending them so many times. They've now switched. They're switching alliances over to BRICS, the BRICS people, and so we really have a conundrum on our hands with what's going on over there. This thing could escalate where tomorrow morning, and I mean this with every fiber of my being, we could wake up tomorrow morning and a nuclear weapon has been used. We could wake up tomorrow morning and Iran is in the fray. I believe Iran slash Russia. This is benefiting Russia in no great detail. I mean, it has definitely taken the eyes off the Ukraine. And Zelensky now, I think he's going to be slowly, I think the whole Ukraine thing is going to be slowly marched out of public consumption. And I mean, the news media will stop covering it less and less and less. Just, do you hear anything about Maui anymore? How
No.
quickly that disappeared. And there's still 2,000 missing children from what I know. Maybe I'm not up to date on all the news, but 2,000 missing children. The allegations that those videos where the school buses were found on a military base. And I don't think the military per se is involved with it. I just think that the people that be that run the satanic Luciferian cults, have people in the military, higher ups, that can authorize those flights going out, and who knows what's on those flights. You don't hear about it anymore. And I think there's a good chance that this is what's going to happen with Ukraine after we spent, 200, I don't know how many billions of dollars, but now we're going to get involved in a war with, and I'm not saying Ukraine's going to go away. I'm just saying now what's going to happen is this Middle Eastern war is going to take forefront, because it does have the ability to go to explode into so many different avenues so quickly. Just a couple nights ago, the Syrians warned if Israel did anything to them, they bombed them, there would be a massive retaliation. Now that hasn't happened, but Israel bombed them. It just seems like at this point they don't care. They're being told that if they go in, if they bring a ground war into Gaza Strip, Iran, Syria, and other nations are going to attack them. Doug, you can see where this is heading, the potential of where it's heading. Jesus said as we approach the end of the age, there would be wars and rumors of war. Could this be just another war and rumor of war? Yes, it could be. Time will tell, but this could be a very large trigger event that causes a much wider fight that really brings the world into World War III. And the reason I say that is, there's so many hotspots on the earth today that could bring the world into World War III. So much fighting over the earth's resources, lithium, oil, gas. I mean, we see fighting over these resources. And, it's always the military that gets involved, and the people who in the military who win get the goods. Everybody else goes home or has to pay for it from the victor. That's what we're doing that now in Afghanistan. We miserably lost over there, and so instead of being the conquerors, we're playing the role of the subservient. The Chinese are over there doing their thing, and now we're playing having to eat humble pie because Joe Biden did what he did. And that's another thing. I think it was on Revolver or DiscernReport.com that. There was an article that says we want to, thank the Joe Biden administration, Hamas, Hamas wants to thank the Joe Biden administration because Hamas is now chambered in 5.56, a NATO round, the standard M16 round, because of all those weapons we left over there. And I saw the pictures, very sophisticated attachments on their AR-15s also, or M16s. You know, they had pointing lasers. They had EOTechs. They had Trijicons. They had all the latest gear on them. And so, you know, that was all done at the behest of the Biden administration, which I said then and I say now, there is no way in the world that was stuff was left behind by accident. That was left behind as a huge cash, underground cash source. As they sell that stuff off, politicians all get a kickback on it. And so we spread, you know, war, bloodshed, torture, death, and, you know, politicians are getting kickbacks off of it. So that's what I alleged. And I'm absolutely sure that's what's going on over there right now. Those weapons are being sold off to anybody with money to pay for them. And we're going to see more of this type of fighting. And as the world approaches the second advent, we're going to see more and more and more catastrophic wars and fighting, more and more death and bloodshed. Go ahead.
I wonder if any of this is going to spill into Saudi Arabia. The Sunnis and Shias hate each other. And yes. The Ayatollah from Iran wants nothing more than the 12th Mahdi to come back. And they, I mean, as far as I know, are the most extreme religion in the world about starting an apocalypse. And so, you know, as a Christian, I really do not care because Christ returns and Christ is king. So, you know, you guys can have at it, have fun. Apparently, you haven't read the end of the story, but there are political implications here. There are geopolitical implications. We know that what's going on right now will eventually bridge a gap into an accord amongst states, and not the Abraham Accord. That was kind of a beginning of that, but another accord amongst states. They will align with Israel. They're probably going to divide Israel in half. They're probably going to give what Palestine wants and what the rest of the Islamic nation wants at this rate that we're going. If we were to count on our politicians, that's what would happen. And I see this as I think it's hard to deny that this is a conflict that will not stop between the Palestinians who actively try to kill the Israelis and the Israelis who actively try to kill the Palestinians by trying to protect themselves. It's foolish is how stupid the American people are. People around the world have become, especially the American politicians. They call the Israelis settlers and this and that. If Israel wanted Gaza, wouldn't they just roll in with their tanks? Wouldn't they just roll in? Wouldn't they just demolish everything that was already there? Wouldn't they cut off the internet, the free water, the free internet, the free electricity? I mean, there has been bloodshed, and sure, there have been people who've lost their homes. I'm not unsympathetic to that, but I'm also not sympathetic to the sons of the Ishmaelites. I'm sorry, I'm just not. I've not seen a Christian caliphate yet.
In 1948, Palestine was not a state in any way. No government. It was basically Bedouins. It was just basically the Wild West. There was no form of government, nobody ruling it. And then the Israelis came in and just did amazing things, made the land bloom and blossom, you know, built, brought industry, technology, science, jobs. Oh, they brought it all there. And all of a sudden now it's like, well, that's our land. Well, it wasn't your land. You weren't the original people there. And so my own other question is this, and I have sympathy for people, and my sympathy would go like this. Okay. These are your Arab brothers. You preach about it all the time. Saudi Arabia, all those Middle Eastern countries preach about how the Palestinians are our Arab brothers. Why aren't you offering safe, a place in your country? Why aren't you donating the money to help alleviate their suffering. Why don't you bring, you know, thousands and thousands of Palestinians? Saudi Arabia is big enough to do it. They're rich enough to do it. The Emirates is rich enough to do it. I mean, you know, Lebanon's rich enough to do it. Syria could do it. And they could bring those people in and give them a place and say, this is your place. You know, it's your yours in perpetuity. And why don't they do that? Why is it the Israelis that have to give up everything? And the double standard is quite amazing that we see some of the, you know, in any war, you're going to have rape, brutality, murder. And, you know, the Palestinians are sitting there saying, you know, it's a war crime to turn our power off. It's a war crime to turn our food off. It's a war crime to do this. It's you know, we all have different views on war, but I mean, good grief. Well, they've been doing it to each other for hundreds of years, thousands of years.
But when you make an excuse here in America, like Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, Cory Booker, AOC, when you have these dumb women, one is malicious, one is very malicious, one is absolutely extremely racist. I believe Rashida Tlaib is Palestinian. Yes. So she has a horse in this race. AOC is possibly the most innocent of the four and the dumbest of that. AOC represents the willful, stupid American who is like, yeah, man, peace, no more war.
Why isn't she at the border fence right now looking into Palestine, crying how we're putting these people in cages? I mean, why isn't she doing that?
Because she'll get got. That's why.
Yeah.
AOC, what some people don't seem to understand, Bob and I have traveled to the Middle East. We have quite a few veterans here on the American Vindictus Show. By the way, as always, thank you for your service, brothers and sisters who served our people, to include first responders. When you have traveled the world, especially in the Middle East, there has been very few places where I felt like I need a gun in my hands and a lot of magazines, like being in the Middle East. Now, Turkey was pretty cool. Turkey is not as bad. Constantinople was pretty cool. That was an interesting place. I saw.
I love that place. I do. I love it. If you like history, you would love to go to Constantinople.
Those walls are gigantic.
Yeah.
But I also saw a dude getting flogged on the side of the street by the police with, you know, wooden batons. So, hey, at least, you know, we have at least law enforcement has a consistent point of view everywhere around the world. I don't know. So many people.
You know,
I think I was at
Ankara and I was leaving, and this guy at the counter, the airport counter, was arguing with the lady behind the desk, and he hauled off and smacked her. Oh my gosh. Have you ever seen the movie Midnight Run?
Yeah.
He's still in some hole somewhere. I mean, they literally just came in front of everybody and beat the daylights out of him.
So
clubs,
you know, is that the Red Sea that's there?
Yes. I think.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So on the sea, there's
there's the Black Sea.
I think
that
it
goes over to Odessa.
I think it might be the Black Sea. We were at one place in Turkey where they fish a lot and they have a lot of restaurants right
Black
there.
Sea.
Yeah. And this restaurant was like 300 years old. All right. And it was really, really cool. The food was great. I've never had shrimp this size. This shrimp was like this. It was like a foot long.
Lobster.
At least that big around. I mean, it's like eating a Zumo sausage for a shrimp. And so the whole thing, we added it up. It's all of us Americans. When I was contracting, we had to go to Turkey. I can't exactly remember what. Anyways, we're only there for a number of hours. And so we stop at this place And, we ordered some waters and teas and decided to have some fish. And they just kept bringing you meals and kept bringing you meals. And we're like, okay, we'll eat this. And sure, we'll eat that. Well, originally for like the 12 of us for our team, it was going to be like 200 American dollars. Well, by the time we wanted to leave, it was about 500 American dollars. And we saw what was going on. We're like, okay, we're being had and we're having to haggle. I'm like, I got it, guys. I know how to haggle. I dealt with the Iraqis for too long. And within about 2 minutes of watching these guys, and I joke you not, here's a calculator. And I'll say, here's the numbers on your menu. Let's add them up on your calculator. And as the guy's using the calculator, then he'll go to his hand and he'll count one, two, and get confused and erase all the math I just did on the calculator and start over. And the number would increase to like $600. And I'm like, I see we're not getting anywhere. Let's talk to the manager. The bellhop boy's not helping us. The manager was like 21. The guy serving our table was like 18. And he did the same thing, counting on fingers, in the hundred. We're in the hundreds right now. And he's using his fingers to count. I'm like, what primitive people am I dealing with right now? No, they were haggling us. And so here's what we said. We said, look, we'll pay you to the $290 it's gonna cost, and then we're gonna get up and we're gonna leave. And so and in comes another manager, and he said, and he's the only one who spoke half English. He says, hold on, I'm gonna go get somebody, I'll be right back. He went and got the police. The police came down with an Uzi or like an MP5. I think it was an MP5, pointed it at us and said, I heard you're not gonna pay your bill. And so we decided to pay the 600 something dollars because it had increased by 100. That was the most interesting thing that we got to do. And we saw a couple of dudes get royally beat by the police. Probably for not paying their restaurant bill. But that besides that, I mean, you go to certain places in Lebanon, it's okay in the Lebanese area. Jordania, the Jordanians are pretty good. But once you go outside those little, like really commercially traveled places, you break down into a part of society that is barbaric.
Yes,
It is
absolutely.
very barbaric. Like there's not, it's not, you're not going to get on Marriott and say, hey, come to our newest hotel in Baghdad. That's not going to happen. Or Palestine. That's not going to happen on the Gaza Strip very
You know,
much.
when I stayed at, I would stay at the Sheraton in Karachi, and they had welded wire mesh over the whole front of all the balconies. So if somebody shot like RPGs at the
Yep.
hotel, they would
RPGs and
explode.
grenades.
They would explode outside your room and not explode in your room.
Yep.
A unique experience.
The average American does not understand what we're saying right now. You are so graciously born in America. You should truly covet this country and not hate it for the amount of work that we have put into it so that you don't have to put RPG wire upon everything that you live on so that the RPG doesn't go into your house.
And explode inside your hotel room. And when the water came out of the in the Sheraton, when the water came out, it was brown.
Yeah, it was brown. So was ours. So in our bathroom, the hot water was connected to a exposed wire that went straight into the shower head. And we turned on the water, everything rickets and racks, and then it just comes out brown. And I let it run for a good 5 minutes. It only got browner. And then our TV that we had was like this big. I've never seen a TV so small. Now I'm not that big of a guy. If anyone's met me, I'm really wide, but I'm not like that big of a guy. But even I know that a child-sized mattress is not big enough for me. And that was the only thing in this hotel. And this was the nicest hotel in the area outside of the airport. And so that was very interesting. The Middle East is very interesting. We kind of went down like different, memory holes for me and Bob there, but it is very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Rashida Tlaib, knows how dangerous it is. Ilhan Omar, coming from Somalia, you know, her and her brother husband know how dangerous it is. Cory Booker, who I believe is just a racist and hates every person in the world, she has no idea. And AOC would not be able to go over to Palestine into Gaza with her beliefs and make it out alive. And there's so many people in America right now, Bob. I was watching today that it's socialism for Palestine, communism for Palestine, Black Lives Matter for Palestine, Antifa for Palestine, queers for Palestine. Now, I'm going to have to take and edit that part out, but that's what's on Twitter, right? I don't think people understand. Like, you're not going to get along with the Mujahideen. And this whole like caliphate thing, this international jihad to start tomorrow. Do they not know that in the Quran, all these reprobates are right there on the enemy list, next to the Jew, next to the non-convert, next to the Christian? Like, they're throwing people off of the towers, ISIS was, that were of any reprobate culture. And yet now they wholeheartedly embrace it. Do you think that the Islamic extremists would embrace westernized socialism, feminism, communism for a period of time, and then turn on them? Yeah, do you think they would turn on them right after?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, going back to Turkey, I love visiting Turkey because of the history, the catacombs, the Hippodrome, you know, the Bosphorus has so much history concerning it. You know, but you want to pay attention to where you walk, especially if you're a white guy and you're walking alone, because they see money when they see that.
Yes, they do.
And, you know, you just have to be careful.
You'll get a little taxi pull up beside you and you'll be yanked into it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. You know, you get a lot of people who, you know, they have fake taxi credentials, and you got to make sure you get a real taxi, because if it's one of those fake taxis, first of all, at best, he's going to drive you around the city and do the exact same thing that happened to you. With your restaurant bill, he's going to drive up some enormous taxi bill, because he's with a half a mile trip or a mile trip, he's driven you 25 miles around the city, you know, giving you your personal tour, and then he wants to be paid commensurately.
They do that. They do that. That happened to us. They did do that.
So, but anyhow, Doug, I think the point we're making is tomorrow, what we see and what we've talked about is going to be let loose worldwide. You know, our Jewish brothers, they're going to be singled out. Christians are going to be singled out. And I don't know the degree to which they will perpetrate this. I suspect mainly it'll be in the Middle East, in places where there'll be soft targets.
Yep.
You know, easy targets, soft targets. But I would still just do what you've taught us to do in that class. You know, you keep your head on a swivel. You pay attention to where it's at. If you don't need to go somewhere, you know, that could be dangerous, don't. Just do it another day. Not giving into fear, but just giving into prudence. I'd rather avoid an incident than try to say, I'm going to be macho and go down there anyhow, and get in trouble, and you just don't know where that's going to happen. But this is the active shooter course we just did, 101, you know, because the potential for active shooters, hostage taking, is going to be at an elevated level. Act accordingly. And with that said, you know, Doug, this recent class, do you have any pictures? I mean, we actually built a real shoot house this time.
Yeah, I will. I'll be inserting pictures and actual videos in between what we're talking about right now, so people can just stop and watch what we're doing.
Yeah, we actually had a 2x4, real paneling shoot house with two rooms and a hallway. Now we're going to expand this a couple doorways. And Justin, who is Doug's assistant, I mean, he played the part almost too well. I
Uncle
mean,
Charlie.
yeah,
He was
he
our bad
played it.
guy.
He played it really, really good. So, with when we see this escalating in the world, these kind of events escalating in the world, because that's the first thing Hamas did was take hostages, and some American hostages. And there's a good chance we will see more of that happening. And seconds count. I know when you're in Pakistan and through an abduction, you've got just a few short seconds to react and to counter what they're trying to do to you. If you paralyze and freak out and just sit there and let them, get you bound, your chances of getting loose are gone forever. You might have five seconds or so to react to that kind of hostage taking scenario, and or even a active shooter scenario, and you've got to respond to it pretty quickly. Which this course we're going to be we've done and are going to be doing, and we keep expanding it. We had a SEER course, we had medical. I did some stuff on radio. I do want to give a call out to Brush Beater. I learned so much from him. Over at brushbeater.org. So I want to thank him. But you're going to see more and more of this as this worst world turns hostile more and more, and we have more international conflicts where it's ethnos. These are ethnos conflicts, ethnic conflicts. And so most of the Western nations today have turned into ethnic melting pots. And we see in this country, pro-Palestinian, anti-Palestinian, and whatever issue we face of the day, you're seeing people on both sides, and they're highly emotionally, highly charged situations, and the ability for violence to happen is extreme. And so we just say, we have another course coming up December 7th through 10th. We will be providing lunch and dinner. You're going to get the best training in the world. So this is a 4-day class. People at the class wanted it expanded. They wanted more time. And so I'll be doing a little radio. Good chance we'll have medic and SEER training. We watched the interrogations, just so they could, if people could feel like what it is to be interrogated.
Boy, those are fun.
Yeah, they're palm sweating events. You start, even though you have nothing to do, it's still a good interrogator. It can make your palm sweat. And so this new course will be coming up 7th through the 10th. We'll be posting it shortly. But everything in the world right now is pointing to the fact that you need this type of training. You look, why do you need an AR-15, Doug? Well, let's look at that de-armed zone that was right on the Palestinian border. Those people were basically unarmed, and they were massacred. Just massacred. So why do you need an AR-15? They needed them. They definitely needed them. Couldn't an event like that happen in the United States? Well, it happens all the time. Schools. Yes, so you do need an AR-15. If you don't have one, I'd recommend getting it. And magazines and ammunition for it. That's another thing. As we get involved with more and more wars and we keep shipping ammunition off to these different nations, there's going to be less for the civilian market. And let me explain what I'm talking about. The major ammo manufacturers that make ammo for the military do overruns on purpose. They do them for the military. But as we get involved with more and more of these conflicts, there's going to be less and less of this ammo that will be available for the civilian market. So if you want to wait, like people have before, and everybody goes out one night, and I've watched it happen, there's been a crisis event somewhere, and I've gone online and looked up 1,000 rounds of 5.56, and it's $200, $300. And the next thing I know, 4 or 5 hours later, it's $1,000. And you can wait for that if you want to pay that $1,000 to somebody. That's fine. But, you know, you can go out now. And AR-15s, I remember people were paying, I think after 9/11, they were paying $3,000 for a $700 AR-15. $3,000. If you want to do that, that's fine. But I right now, these tools, and that's what they are, tools of protection, are still relatively inexpensive. I would make sure we go down and get them. The other thing, too, is in a situation like that, when absolute bedlam has broken out, your cell phone, the Israelis are going to turn cell phones off. Because they don't know who's using them, what they're doing with them. They could be using them to detonate bombs, so the cell phone service will be turned off. And at that point, you know, what are you going to have? You're only going to have radio communication. You know, I think in this last class, because we demonstrated a lot of things, I was demonstrating radio, and we were actually from my location, we just turned it on. And thanks to software-defined radio anymore, I could see these two gentlemen would talk, or there was a signal being generated at that frequency, flipped right over, and we were listening to them. Started engaging them in conversation. And we started, you know, you could start, it's called interrogation by conversation. You don't, you know, who, what, when, well, you don't directly approach it. You just start asking, what do you guys do? How do you, you know, and you can gain intel that way in South Carolina or anywhere in the world. So the importance of radio, even those Bofang radios that you're out, you can communicate. What's it worth when you know if your cell phone's down and you want to find out where your wife's at? What's it worth? $69 for a Bofang radio. You can pick up, you can put in a little bit larger antenna on it and an extra battery on hand for around $125. What's it worth? You know, when Doug got down to the property and was setting up, he noticed a flashlight, a blue flashlight in the woods. And he was like, what is that? Because we have this woods all around. And it was like, you know, he's getting a little, I guess his spider sense started tingling.
It was in an area that no one was supposed to be in. And it was so faint. It was like a sprite out in the woods. You could just barely see it, and you could see someone passing back and forth, and me and Damus, the one of the other guys who helps me out with setting up the course, we were looking at this, and to full honesty here, we were listening to Bigfoot sounds and Bigfoot encounters on our way through your Bigfootville, and some of those sounds, like up in the Appalachians and out in the Northwest, are terrifying, the samurai talk and all that. Really interesting stuff. So basically, two grown men creeped each other out by listening to Bigfoot scream in the woods for about 2 hours. And then we see this little glowing light, and we're like, okay, we're not playing around. Nobody is supposed to be here right now. Who is this? And we went and got some NODs, night division device, from Bob, because I didn't have any on me. And we were able to actually clearly see even better from, I would say, as a crow flies, we were probably 150 yards away, clearly make out everything that we needed through the wood line, thick woods with the night vision. And good night vision really does make a difference. If you just need night vision, just get night vision. But if you spend a little bit more, man, the quality and clarity of white phosphorus, good film, it means a lot for target identification. If it's a bad guy, if it's one of your buddies, being able to clearly see means a lot at night. And so, you know, we clearly saw the guy. We walked down to like this little goalie area that no one's ever tented in, no one's ever camped in. And lo and behold, there's one of our students and he's camping down there. We're like, man, you scared the crap out of us. We didn't have any idea what it was, but all through night vision. I mean, like you could barely tell a faint tell that there was a blue light in front of us. Put on night vision, you might as well have been the moon out in that little goalie, Bob.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what at 150 yards is cheap night vision. wouldn't have done anything for you. This is the purpose of a good night vision. You know, people, I've heard people try to make the argument, well, I've spent, you know, $500 on night vision. It's just as good as anything you have. Well, when come to our class and people have looked through my night vision and they go, oh my gosh, this is unbelievable. You know, the cheaper night vision uses an infrared lighting source. That means there's a source of infrared light that's pumped out by the night vision device itself. So it can see. And it might go out 25, 30 yards at the best, if that. Whereas, like I said, that unit you had, you could see 600-700 yards if you needed to.
Easily.
Yeah. And, you know, with targeting lasers and everything that are available for civilians today, infrared aiming devices. So you can shoot 200 yards at night very easily. And nobody will see the laser because it's invisible. It's in the infrared unless you have night vision on. And that really proved to Doug is like, whoa. I mean, Doug knows it because he was in the Corps and used it before. But it was like that was a big relief. And I can promise you if the rule of law breaks down, Doug, and you can look outside, even if you can't, you know, even if it was bad guys and you couldn't shoot them, you could at least see where they're at and tactically respond to them. You could see what they're doing, where they are, how many there are. You could give a sort of salute report.
Yep.
With those guys out there.
Yep. Absolutely.
They make these infrared chemical lights. You've seen them with a little device. I call it a mousetrap device. You slip one in it and then pull a string across an avenue of approach and they walk and they hit that infrared chemical light. Well, they don't see it. Because it's in the infrared spectrum. But all of a sudden, when they've violated that area, that infrared chemical light's been is popped. And you, if you have night vision on, man, it's lit the whole area up. You can see what's going on there. And you know that avenue of approach has been violated. I mean, the force multiplication of what night vision does for people is beyond anything I can tell you. It's like trying to describe chocolate ice cream when you've never had chocolate ice cream. First time you have it, you go, ooh, I like this, you know? And the same thing with radio communication. If they had two night vision and the radios, they could have, you know, flanked this guy. And if he had been a bad guy and that bad guy would have never known what had happened. He'd have been over before he knew it started. So, you know, just saying that was one of the great takeaways the students had, because we do in the class, let everybody go out at night. Anybody who wants to can go out at night and hike with night vision, look through night vision, look through thermal and see the benefits of it. And they all come away with total amazement. The ones that have never looked through it before of what the capabilities of a person equipped with night vision and radio communication are.
Yeah. I mean, it's the reason why I say Ave Dominus Nox, hail to the king of the night. Those who can see in the night own the night. And that's one of the things that the U.S. military talks about. We own the night. We are the kings of the night. And it's like at nighttime, like when crap hits the fan, man, you want to be moving at night as much as possible vis-a-vis the day, because everyone can see you during the day. If you got to kick in a door, everyone sees you do it. If you're, you know, gathering food, ammunition, whatever, everybody gets to see you do it. Very few people have night vision. And let alone from that, if you have the really cheap night vision, like the $200 sets that you can buy on Amazon, that red IR Cyclops looking light that'll be on the front of it, you can see that thing from at least 100 yards away or more.
Or more than that.
Without night vision, with the plain eye. And night vision, seeing that type of an IR throw, you might as well be the sun at night.
You're a walking Christmas tree.
Yeah, people don't understand it until they get to come to the course and they get to look at it. So the course went really well. No complaints. We welcome all comments. What people said was that they wanted lunch and dinner provided, so we're going to do that from now on. That makes the ease of it. And then they wanted an extra day. And I'm telling you, we had everyone bring out their weapons. I had a whole syllabus wrote for us to do some live fire training. But what I had ended up telling everybody, and I didn't say this in a way like, hey, what Doug says goes. That's not how this works. I just said, look, everyone, give me a vote. What matters more to you right now? Tactics, learning that dang shoot house and those corners, and scenario-based training, and learn how to use your voice, give commands to the bad guy, and work in a team environment versus go to a flat range and kill a paper target and waste a bunch of rounds that are only getting more expensive and harder to come by. Every single person, I taught no basic firearms qualifications of any kind, no basic fundamentals of marksmanship for this course, and everybody shot center mass and headshots in side rooms and down hallways. What does that tell you? I worked with people lining their sights and a little bit of trigger pull and just how to hold the weapon properly for about maybe an hour. Maybe an hour. And after that, they learned after repetitions, Bob, after one, after another, after a dozen or two dozen repetitions through that house, they started to learn how to put that gun up in their face, sights right in their eyes, using their working space if they're having to work through any malfunctions with the weapons, which we used all airsoft, which was a little bit annoying because they all started to go down. But that's what these guns are really meant to do. And they test you because you're having to do a lot of tap, rack, bang to get the weapon back into cycling and firing. But it's all teaching moments. It's all a teachable moment. There's no pride in anything that we're doing. We're just here to learn. But everyone said, Bob, tactics meant more. Tactics meant more.
Absolutely.
If you watch the Hamas going through people's homes, tactics, when Hamas entered a home, unlike where they were at in Israel, if they entered your home here, you are the king of your house. You should know every corner in the day and at night. And you should know how to flow in and out of your room to your hallways, your stairways with either your rifle, shotgun, or pistol. If you're not doing that right now, please do it unloaded. If you're not doing that right now, you're in the wrong. You are missing a chance to have free training. If you have no idea what I just said, if you have no idea about how to clear your corners, about room clearing, close quarters battle, working in teams, using your voice to give commands to people, you need to come see us. The time is growing short. December may be the last class. We have a class going on in November 10th, 11th, and 12th. That's going to be in the Southwest area, the DFW area. If you are interested in that, because I don't have anything really set up online right now, if you're interested in that course, please email me at AmericanVindictaShow@gmail.com. You can go to the website, www.AmericanVindictaShow.com, and you can email me from there as well. You can message me from the website and say, hey, I'm interested in the course in November. We already have close to 15 people coming in November. The DFW area is filled with people who want training, and you're not finding what we're putting on anywhere for a rate that people can really handle. The average class around the country that is teaching what we're teaching, Bob, is $2,000 to $3,000 above what we're teaching.
I've seen him easily $3,000.
Yeah.
And he,
So,
and Doug, I want to say this. You don't get the personalized treatment. The classes are, because they do so many of them, a lot of them are cookie cutter, run them through, teach them basics, ABC. I think one of the things that we enjoyed most was after action reports. We just sit down and talk and ask questions. People were free to ask questions. In fact, we encourage it, to ask questions, talk. And then after hours, you get to sit down and talk with your instructors. I know at some of those big high priced ranches, once the instructor's done, he's gone. You leave. Everybody leaves. So there's maybe a 5-10 minute section for questions. And then it's like, okay, see you tomorrow morning. And that's it. So I'm very pleased to have you there. Joshua loves it. Justin loves it. So we're looking forward to hosting more of these and training people, because both you and I are community preppers, And what I mean by that is we believe we should be assets to our community, not liabilities. We're not John Rambo. We're not going to hold up in some bunker somewhere and just wait for the world to go to hell and blow itself up. You know, I want my thing is I want to protect the innocent. I want to protect the elderly. I want to help people, you know, and not just be the guy who's up there, just shoots anybody who shows up. You know, and going back to the thing traveling at night, Doug, I love dystopian novels. You know, I love 299 Days. I loved Going Home series. I loved them all. But, you know, if it was me, let's just say I'll put it in politically correct terms, I would find a bicycle. I never understand why these guys don't find a bicycle, you know, and use that. And if I had my night vision, I'd be traveling at night as much as I could. Now, obviously, we sell a bike called a Montague bike, which is a military off-road bike. Those would be really good for some, you know, traveling, you know, off in trails. But, you know, people are not going to be able to travel at night. Bicycles don't make any noises. With night vision, you could see somebody hundreds of yards away, so I wouldn't have to, you know, violate their space. It just gives so much more tactical advantage. But with night vision, if I needed to bug home, I could bug home at night, sleep during the day when everybody's out, everybody can see you, and then hike all night long, and then go to bed during the day, rest when everybody's out doing their stuff, looting and robbing and pillaging. And then at night I go out and make my way home. I just always wondered why somebody hasn't written a dystopian novel to that effect yet, because it'd probably make it too simple and wouldn't make it long enough if he had to hike home. But, you know, just saying, transportation, you know, we do carry what's called a Montague bike, and it's a folding bike, military grade. So it's an off-road bike, extremely nice bikes. And you could actually fold that thing up, put it in a car, or even a subcompact. You can get it in a subcompact's trunk. And something happens, we break that bike out and start heading home. And with a bike, I can go 30 miles an hour, you know. And if I was trying to get away on that bike, I might be able to push it up to 40 miles an hour or more. But, you know, it gives me far greater ability to travel. If I had a heavy pack and I was going up a big hill, I could put the pack on a bike and walk the bike uphill, which is going to make it so much easier. I've actually taken one of those Montague bikes, and there's some pretty steep hills around here, and put it in low gear. And even though I'm pedaling like crazy and going slow, I'm still going up a very steep hill.
Hey, so, Bob, we had people asking about radio communication, and what is the simplest thing that people can afford to get right now, until they learn to go above what they need for the Baofengs? Obviously you want internal communication in between teams of people, let's say husband and wife or husband, wife and children. You want earpieces, you want microphones. You don't want to hear the squawk of that radio at night. You do not want to have your radio going off at night.
That's why I don't recommend a Vox mic. I recommend a push-to-talk mic. Vox mic being voice-activated. So if you're walking in the woods and stepping on sticks and cracking and wind and, you know, something else, noise going off, you're going to be transmitting that. So you want to push-to-talk. That means I physically have to push a button to talk. You know, like on this. Right here, this is a, even though it looks like a telephone headset, it is a push to talk. It's the H250. Everyone in the military knows what these are. I have to actually push that button to talk. That prevents me from doing any kind of accidental communication. It's like light discipline. Well, this is radio discipline. You can get the Baofeng UV5R, less than $30 a radio. I mean, you can buy a 10-pack for $300. Just think what you could do in your neighborhood if you had 10 of those radios. To use the ham sections you're supposed to have, you do have to have a ham radio license. I recommend everybody get a ham radio license. But, you know, some of the things you'll be needing to do when I would say the zombies are out eating people might not be legal now. And I don't ever recommend breaking the law, but if it was a matter of life or limb, I would use that radio in any capacity I needed to save my life. And there's, as you saw from the class, a little bit we talked about, there's a lot of things you can do with a radio that, you know, mask some of the key features that you give away when you talk. And I always tell people radios are for listening, not talking. You know, I was telling people the other day, you get a MERS or GMRS radio. Those are the two frequency bands. One's in the 151 megahertz and one's in the 450 megahertz range. You get those radios and the box says 36 miles transmission up to. Well, the reality of it is that that radio is going to transmit a half a mile, maybe a quarter mile. It's not going to go a mile on you. And, you know, that's very, very beneficial information. If I have those radios and I'm just setting on scan, which will set up to scan the frequency, and I hear somebody talking on that radio, it tells me that I've got neighbors. I've got people with those radios half a mile, quarter mile away. And so that's an extremely key point of intelligence. I've got people with radios talking a half a mile away. Now, if I'm listening and I reckon, oh, that's just Joe down the street, no problem. But if I recognize voices that I don't recognize, or if I hear voices I don't recognize, then, you know, I might want to take a sneak and peek and see who it is. Because, you know, at that time you can have all kinds of bad people. They might be setting up camp in your area to loot and to murder, rape, whatever they're going to do if the rule of law is broken down. You weren't in the class when I was given that, talk about why do we do this? Because America is a drug addicted, violence addicted, pornography addicted society. That's what we are. If you just go look at it myself, I'm not making it up. One in five Americans is chemically altered. The amount of Americans that watch and see violence is staggering. The amount of Americans that watch pornography is staggering. And it's not, like I said, just, it's not the old 1960s and 70s porn. This is the gross, inhuman, degradation, violence. And I'm not going to go any further than that, but it gets far worse. And when you get people who saturate their minds with that type of thinking, you know, that's what they see day in and day out. They're on their computer watching, you know, horrific violence, slasher movies or whatever. And then they're watching that type of pornography. And, you know, they're on a drug that's altering their brain processes. When the rule of law breaks down, what do you think those people are going to do? As somebody told me, they're not going to take up knitting. They're going to go out and do what they've seen. And this is why the active shooter class is another reason, because almost one out of five, one out of four, maybe one out of three Americans you pass, if you go to the mall and you're walking by people, somewhere between one out of three and one out of five people are altered in some way. They've become addicted to violence, addicted to pornography, addicted to drugs, or all three. And, you know, under the right circumstances, they snap and they start taking out their bad hair day on you. And so that's a reason. We're seeing more and more of it. I mean, just more and more of these gangs breaking into stores, just smashing and grabbing. More and more just act, you know, stupid violence. Somebody's walking down the street. Somebody comes up behind him, hits him with a baseball bat. We're seeing more and more of it. And that's because, you know, we've forsaken the God of our fathers. And we've given ourselves over to a reprobate, depraved mind to entertain that which is totally depraved. And then we've chemically altered our brains on top of that. So again, that's what we do. That's why the importance of radio communication. I'm just thinking, you know, how important would a couple of Bofangs have been to maybe a husband and wife team that were attending that event? And it's funny that Hamas attacked an event that was geared for peace, and they knew they were unarmed.
Yeah,
sounds familiar?
We've had multiple husband and wife show up to these events. This time we actually had a mother and a son. Which they were awesome. Miss Gail was very aggressive. She would be the person you would not expect to be coming after you in a room. And it's always the ones you don't expect. That's the what
She
I've
gave
learned
good
about
verbal
this.
commands.
Yeah,
You wouldn't expect it.
I believed she was going to shoot Justin if he didn't put the gun down.
Yeah.
Hey, so before we get off, just to bring this back into more realism for everybody, not only do we have the threat from Hamas, Hezbollah, all the extremist ideologues of radical Islam here in America, but now mass cartel hitmen armed with rifles announce a purge in a shocking video in Mexico. This is on Infowars.com, one of the most banned websites in the world. Armed cartel hitmen in Mexico released a shocking video threatening to conduct a purge of residents living in several towns, including many near Mexico. I'm fixing to say a curse word for all of you who are not an adult. Cover your ears. Footage from last week publicized on Mexican social media shows members of the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, the CJNG. Those guys, CJNG, those guys are the ones who were trained by special operations from America and were former Mexican special operations. These are guys with military training. There's actually American members of the military, when they got out, went to go and work for them, went to go and work for the Sinaloas, making, you know, $4,000 to $5,000 a week, or sometimes, you know, $8,000 to $10,000 a month in Mexico. You can live like a king in Mexico with that type of money. And these guys are horrifically brutal with what they do. You've heard of all the brutality from all the Mexican cartels. This is the Mexican cartel that scares all other Mexican cartels. Now, they were wearing skull face masks because I guess they think it's cool. And they announced their arrival to the region. And they say that they have come to these towns and they plan to, quote, clean up. All right. This is the translation of this video. I'm not going to play it, but here's the translation. This message goes out to the residents within the valleys of Teotihuacan and all its surroundings. We have arrived, you sons of bitches. We will be moving throughout the towns of over a dozen, maybe 20 different towns that they say they're going to move from town to town and clean up. He says, we've arrived to purge these areas, you sons of bitches. We are the absolute mob of Mr. Mencho, the cartel member says, with the other members repeating the last phrase. You know, these guys, when America is really invaded, when the lights go out, when law is no longer an orderly thing, you're going to have these types of cartels, along with the Sinaloa, and they're going to come into America. They're going to hit California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. And those little towns, if you don't have proper communication, you don't have night vision, you don't have training, you don't have good weapons, you don't have your cars up to date. If you can't flee, you have to stand and fight. If you're not going to stand a fight, you're going to be at the mercy of people who rape and torture for fun, and then they execute out of a satanic handbook. Just like what Russ Dizdar has wrote with the Black Awakening. What's coming to America is the Black Awakening. You can call it jihad. You can call it cleanup, as the cartel do. You're going to wake up to or be interrupted in the night one day here in America, around the world most likely, to an all-out hellacious war. Everyone will be caught off guard. Those who are caught off guard a little bit less are those who prepared, they trained, they're calm, they can think their way through things, they put themselves in harsh training, they've learned how to suffer, and they learn that they can operate during suffering. Anyone else who literally operates off of Starbucks and off of Dairy Queen and off of HBO Max, and they, you know, they sharpen pencils all day at their job, you are going to be in what we call a world of hurt. And you're going to be cannon fodder. You are going to be held to the standard of your kidnappers, of your oppressors. And whatever they say goes. If you cannot overthrow them, if you cannot protect yourself, then they will make the new rules and you will abide by them. I mean, there's no other way around that, Bob.
And that means giving up your children if they want them. These cartels don't have, there's no
there's no
moral
empathy.
Function. Yeah.
There's
nothing.
No.
Yeah. No empathy, nothing. They'll do whatever they want to do. Seen it, and it's not very, very pretty. Put it that way. I just want to say, people who've seen that stuff, yeah, a lot of policemen. That's why they end up with PTSD. That's why policemen have a very high rate of suicide, because they see this stuff day in and day out, and eventually, people break. They just can't see it anymore. But that's why you have such a high rate of suicide among veterans. That's why you have such a high rate of suicide among police, because they're out there day by day doing things and seeing things so that you don't have to. Well, when that rule of law breaks down, and those that keep you from having to see those things, and you start having to see them, brother, your world is going to change immediately. And I want to say this. When I was praying, Doug, and I felt the Lord lay that on my heart, I felt it was going to be a protracted event. This isn't going to be one thing. This was going to be a Rubicon, crossing a Rubicon. This was going to be an event that when you change, that we've seen United States, any hope of this world going back, you know, make America great again, any hope of that is going to fade very quickly. Because people have known the world has changed, and not changed for good. It's changed. It's made a decision, you know, globally. The world at one time made a decision to globally, we spread the gospel. We had the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today, church membership, people who believe in God, all that are decreasing and declining at an alarming rate. And the gospel of Lucifer, pleasure, entertainment, you know, drugs, blasphemy of all sorts, is the gospel that's replacing it. Jonathan Cahn wrote about it. If you haven't read the book, Return of the Gods, I highly recommend you read it, because I think he knocked that one out of the park with that book, Return of the Gods. And that's what we're seeing replacing it. And from what I sense in my spirit, there's no turning back from this. You're going to have to deal with it. The rule of law is breaking down, and it is going to break down. Tucker Carlson, go ahead. Well, even Tucker Carlson mentioned it, that, you know, we've gone from arresting Trump to in every form of intimidation, and it hasn't worked. It's made him more popular. So what's next? He said it himself, assassination.
Assassination. Yeah. You know, it just reminds me of blessed be the peacemakers, or the peacekeepers, however you want to say it. Imagine if you and your posse were the only group who had the night vision, who had the radio communication, who had the testicular fortitude to stand up and do something about it. And you were able to repel the cartel attack. You were able to repel the active shooter attack, the night of chaos. You were able to bring an assembly of peace. That would be something that would be truly a blessing to people who cannot do it for themselves, from the elderly to the innocents, and, you know, just to men and women who just morally cannot find themselves to stand up and do it. And this is not just a man's world, ladies. You live in that world with us, so you better get prepared alongside everyone else. Bob, I think that's all we got for right now. Can you leave everyone with your contact number in case they want to get a hold of you and check out your website?
Yeah, you know, night vision, you can check for yourself. It's getting harder and harder to get. We do have a lot of units in stock. They can call us at 800-627-3809 or go to our website, Ready Made Resources, all one word, readymaderesources.com. Those radios you mentioned, the UV5Rs are sub-30. The BFF8, which is the big brother of the UV5R, is under $70. So you can pick them up fairly cheap and have a very, very good source of communication.
Yeah, guys, if you're not prepared, you have the ability to continue to prepare. Do not become lackadaisical. If you don't know exactly what to get and you don't have really the ability to get out there and get anything that's expensive or that's of higher quality, anything helps. Anything can be a tactical advantage. If all you can afford is that $200 piece of night vision that it may give you away, but you can still see at night, Bob, would you tell people not to get it?
I would recommend some other things first. I would recommend see if you can't save the money. We do offer financing on it, so you can get it for, a finance payment of about $100, $150 a month.
There
I
you
would
go.
recommend that over buying it because it might give an advantage in certain circumstance, but there's a lot of downsides to it. You're not going to see very far. You have that active infrared light is just a killer. I mean,
It's obnoxiously bright.
it just lights the whole area up. It's just like the night security cameras. You walk by one of those with nods on, and it's lit the whole area up. You can't see it if you don't have night vision on. You put that night vision on, it's lit the whole area up with infrared light. And I mean, through the nods, when you see that infrared light, it looks like daylight out there. So, I think there are, I'd find an alternate method if I could and get a good pair of night vision. I think night vision is that one, it's a top shelf element item that in that in communication. I mean, it's like a food supply. Would I want to have, beans for my food? That's all I have. Some, a very maybe tasteless food. And I just, that's not good. Or would I want to have a balanced meal if I had to have food storage? Well, obviously the balanced meal is the answer. Night vision to me, and I mean, if you'd had a cheap night vision the other night, you wouldn't have seen those guys.
No.
They'd have been walking around. So I would say save your money and get a good pair. I guess if push came to shove, yes, answer your question, but I would get a good pair if at all possible. And with, like I said, with financing about $150 a month.
And if you're gonna have night vision, you might as well put something on it. Bob sells bump helmets. Ballistic helmets, whichever one you want. I suggest you always get a ballistic helmet. A bump helmet is not going to protect your grape if you take one to the head, but hey, everyone has a budget to work off of. All right, that's all we got. Anybody got any questions, put them into the
Yeah,
comment
let
section
me
below,
show
please.
this last thing. This is an infrared aiming laser. You can see it's fairly small, fits on top of a Picatinny rail. You've got a visible laser, you've got an invisible laser. That means it's infrared. So once I sight this thing in, windage and elevation, I've got this laser beam going out. If I've sighted it incorrectly on my AR-15, I can gangster shoot. It doesn't matter how I shoot because when that laser touches the target, it's going to hit that target. So, this with the night vision is an unbelievable compliment. But anyhow.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, if you guys got any more information on that, you want to know any more about night vision, we had quite a few people this last class. Every single class we get people buying night vision because they're seeing
Yes.
they're seeing what it can do, especially if we can take you through the shoot house at night, if we can push you through the paces at night. We had people did ask for a entire night vision only training. The prerequisites of that it would be that you have to have night vision. So, can we do that? Absolutely. If that's something that people want to do, send me an email, put it down in the comment section below. But we have hundreds of people with night vision. We just need to try and figure out how to facilitate people. Typically, we do a pistol only course for the active shooter because it's more about the tactics than it is the weapons, but we are going to have live fire December 4th. What was those 4 days for
Seventh to
December?
tenth.
Okay, December 7th through 10th. We are going to have a live fire only day. One of those days will be only live fire. So if you want to bring your weapons, that'll be a good time to bring it. Look, it's going to be cold. We're going to put you through the paces. We're going to put you into a little bit of the suck. We're going to make it hurt. You're going to suffer a little bit, and you are going to come out just fine. You're going to realize that you can do things differently during different times of the year with weather that you can't in inclement weather. And I hope it is inclement weather and it's nasty because we trained in nasty weather. You'll realize, you know how many people realized with all those cool tactical gloves that they had that they could not put a tourniquet on? They all had to take off their gloves. Everyone had to take off their gloves.
We had a Marine there teaching a pistol course or pistol rifle course one time, and we were down below by the picnic area, and there is a garden hose there, and it was cold, and he, without even telling us, he just started hosing us down, and fight through this, don't know, he was screaming at us, you're not cold, fight. And you got cold real quick, and you know that. But he just started hosing us down, and because he knew it was rough and tumble guys, but I'll tell you what, if it ain't raining, we ain't training. If you training in the rain or training wet and cold is something completely different.
And it sucks, but
Yes, it does.
it sucks, but it's all good training. Bob, what's your number for the people?
800-627-3809.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions about any of the gear that we've talked about, please call Ready Made Resources. If you actually have any questions at all about how to train the preparation, if you got a fixed budget and you need to, get some coaching, Bob will talk to you for free. He won't talk to you for an hour and a half for free, but Bob will talk to you and try and get you squared away. If you need to know anything about the future training coming up that's in south of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, we're accepting everyone and anyone except felons because we're going to be using live firearms. If you need training, come to us. We're having people from ranches that are contacting us, family units. I think we have a 7 or 8 person, maybe 7 to 10 person family unit that's coming. Well, a lot of people that we met at Jamie Walden's place are coming to this training. They're seeing that the hour is growing short and the ability to prepare and that window is growing lesser and lesser. So do it while you have the chance. Bob, any last words?
No, just that is just that we see all the events building up to what I believe is the coming great tribulation, and it's going to be a very. The Bible says it's a time unlike any time on earth. We trust God for protection, but I don't lean on a shovel and ask God to dig a hole. I have to go dig the hole, and God gives me the energy to do it. So take that into mind. Abraham was a man of the sword. He knew the sword. So was David, and many other of the patriarchs were men that had learned the art of war because they lived in a violent world and they had to protect their family, and they did it quite effectively. So pray about it, seek God, get prepared because I think deprivation's coming. And I think more, we're going to see violence escalate more and more and more.
Absolutely. Hey, if you want to come to the course, but you're not really too sure on it, pray about everything that you do. Put God in first before you buy anything, before you take courses. That's what we're supposed to be doing is putting God first. So, Bob, thanks for coming on. Everyone, make sure that you stay vigilant out there. Stay frosty. The enemy's out there. We love you guys. We're praying for everyone who's out there. If you need prayer requests, send them over to American Vindicta. At Gmail, American Vindicta Show at gmail.com. We do take on prayer requests. And that's all I got, guys. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, Doug. God bless.
All stations, all stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.